Would you eat a steak grown in a lab? Yesterday in the show, we discussed the meat shortages in shops caused by Storm Emma. But separately, a company in the US has claimed they'll have synthetic meat on the market in 1 year. So could lab-grown meat be the answer to future food shortfalls? And more importantly, would you eat it? Our reporter, Jade Wilson, went out on the streets of Dublin to find out what people thought.
I'd be killing animals and it would taste the same. I'd feel much better about eating it then than eating real meat.
I would, yeah, definitely. I don't see there's any sort of ethical reasons why I shouldn't, as long as everything is sort of safety conscious.
Yeah, I would try it. I mean, if it's saving some animals or whatever, yeah, I would give it a go. But personally, I don't really think it would taste quite the same.
Absolutely not. I went to an exhibition in Smock Alley Theatre last year where they manufactured meat under laboratory situations, and it tasted disgusting. It's appalling. No, I'm either a real steak man or no meat.
Okay, mixed views there. Now, Peter Verstrate is the CEO of Dutch company Mosa Meat, who grew the first ever lab burger. I'm delighted to say he joins us on the line. Peter, thanks indeed for joining us. Can you explain, first of all, what exactly is a burger or a steak or meat that is grown in a lab? How does it work?
Yeah, well, essentially, it is the same as the burger or the steak that you're familiar with. So what we do is we take a sample of a muscle, and from that sample we isolate a certain type of cells that are in there called satellite cells, and they are basically the repair kit of the muscle. So they are there to, when you rupture your muscle, when you cut yourself or whatever, they start to proliferate, to multiply. And then they fill the gap and form functional muscle tissue, and that's repairing the muscle. And that's exactly the same property of those cells that we use. We just do it outside of the animal, and that's all. It sounds easy, but it actually takes a little bit of work to get to the point where you can do it efficiently. But essentially, that's what we do. So it's no different from what happens in your average animal.
Okay, we heard a number of people in that Vox there talking about, yeah, but what would it taste like? I read reports about the burger you produced, and people were saying, actually, you know what, it wasn't bad. But they did make the point it lacked a bit of fat, it was too lean, it lacked a bit of taste. Is that something you can address over time?
Oh yeah, it is actually something we are addressing as we speak. So we kept on working on this, on the development of this burger after this event. And we are now also able to grow fat tissue. We need to optimize that a little bit, but we're already able to do that. We're also able to generate the color of the meat, which is also essential for the taste of it. And we're optimizing the growing conditions in general as well. So oh yeah, definitely we're approaching the real thing.
Okay, from an environmental point of view, there's obviously huge positives of this because rearing cattle obviously has a big impact on the environment. Interesting to hear a couple of people in that Vox talk about slight safety concerns. Are there any issues at all? Are there any health issues at all about recreating meat in this way?
Not really. I would say it's quite the contrary. Actually, there are health issues associated with traditional meat, if you like, something like zoonosis, so disease is transmitted from animals to people, or the resistance against antibiotics that is emerging in microorganisms. That's also a serious threat for us humans, and that too is associated with large scale farming of animals. And all these downsides are not there when you culture meat through tissue engineering. So, no, I would say not.
What about cost? Because obviously at the moment, I'm sure it costs you probably hundreds of thousands to make that one burger because it's part of the research process. Are you confident that you can that cost can be reduced to the point where it is economic to actually sell this kind of meat?
Yes, I am. But having said that, that will take time because the cost going down, for that, we will need to upscale. And upscaling takes resources, takes time, we just need to have the patience to go through that upscaling stage, mainly upscaling the production of the food that we give to the cells. Just like any farmer will tell you, the price of his or her meat is a reflection of the price of the food that they give to the animals. And in our case, it's no different. We too need to feed ourselves, and we need to establish a production supply chain, as it's called, that's able to produce the food for those cells, which simply does not exist yet.
Okay.
That needs to emerge.
Okay.
That takes time.
Just very briefly, because we are out of time, how long do you think before it comes to market? And do you think in 10 years' time we'll all be consuming this kind of meat?
It'll be the first initial small-scale market introduction, about 3 years, would be my guess today. When you find it in retail, between 5 and 10 years from today, probably closer to 10. And 20, 30 years from today, we will start to wonder why we ever ate meat from animals in the first place.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Thank you indeed for joining us. Peter Verstraete there, CEO of Mosa Meat.
By the way, would you eat lab meat? Folks out there, 53106, tell us, would you be interested in eating lab meat? I got a text in here, Shane, when that item, in relation to that item, from Cormac, who describes himself as a red-blooded, soccer-mad carnivore from Swords. Cows, they're horrible-looking things, but they taste gorgeous.